And just, I want to just go back over a few of those. Romans 6 and 23, where we read, the wages of sin is death. But he didn't even stop there. He went on, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's here's this one. Yes, choices will take you this way. But even right there, he's going to give you choices will take you the other way also. The one that we had there in Galatians 6 and 8 and 9, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he wouldn't even stop it until he went on. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The one that we read in Deuteronomy 30 and 19, I've set before you life and death. But he wouldn't stop there. He went ahead and told you, hey, the best choice that you can make is choose life. And then he went on to tell us, because if you'll choose life, it's going to be a benefit to you, and it's going to be a benefit to your children that's coming along behind you. Choose life. There's another one that we have. It's maybe one of the favorite verses in the Bible. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, here's given both sides again, except here it says, if you believe in him, you not perish, but be able to have everlasting life. I'm thankful for those scriptures. Right along with the one that warns me about being lost comes the hope that if I make right choices, I can have everlasting life. So this afternoon, I want us to take a look at heaven. Because, you know, just like this song that we just sang, I need to have something as a goal. You know, on my job, when I hired on there, it's true, I had, you know, I want to know about some of the benefits. What about vacation? But payday is real important. Because, you know, it's going to be real hard to do the tough, dirty jobs throughout the week, and you have no goal in mind. So there's going to be pay coming for all this. Well, there's payday for the Christian that goes through all these troubles, and I need to have it as a picture out ahead of me. That's something I loved about the story in Pilgrim's Progress. Christian had several places, several times where he failed. He fell in the slough of despond, but there's something that happened to him that I loved. He always climbed out on the celestial city side of every problem. When he got out, yep, he's dirty, yep, he's in trouble, but he's headed toward the celestial city. A just man can fall seven times, but he rises again and keeps on going. Does that say there's no power in salvation? Yeah, there's a lot of power in salvation. But it also says, should I fail, don't turn around, don't go back. We heard this morning, what going back? We'll take you too. Set your eyes. I'm going to make heaven my home. Would not perish, but would be able to have everlasting life. I'd like for us to look at a few verses in Psalms 139, starting in the first verse. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and you're acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. You know, for me to make heaven my home, I need to be able to recognize these verses right here to be true. Lord, you know everything about me. You know the thoughts that I think. You know my down sitting, my uprising. You understand my thoughts afar off. And then that chapter ends with a prayer. Psalms 139 and 23. So he finishes all that up with this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And now this one is where we want to go. And lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, I want to make it to heaven. I ask you to lead me in that direction that will take me there. There is another verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 15 and 24. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. There is a way that leads me up to a higher level of living, that I may be able to depart from hell beneath. You know, Christian, he started out, the very first thing he had to do, because I was thinking, there's a little saying, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. We can go to hell without doing anything. It's kind of like a computer program. You don't do anything and there's a default setting. This is what's going to happen. Folks, if we don't do anything about our soul, putting preparation into it, hell is where we'll be going. But preparing is important. And I thought about Christian. When he started out, the first place was he had to realize, here's where I am. And if I stay in this place, this is the city of destruction. I'm going to be destroyed if I stay here. And starting some preparation. Well, there's some preparation that needs to be made. I'd like to look at a verse for the Christian that wants to make heaven our home. Here's a verse that I need to put in. In Colossians in the third chapter and in the first verse. If ye then be risen with Christ, now I start doing something. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Now, where is the balance with that? Because, you know, I'm working a job now, and I believe it's important for us to set aside some money for retirement, but that my heart would not be set there. To where should that money all disappear, it would be okay. I know the Lord's going to take care of me. But you know what? I need to start putting some things over on the other side to where I started noticing that with Dad. As he came down closer to the end, he had more over there than he had over here. He used to have, you know, he never had much, but he used to have some things that he enjoyed doing. He loved working on lawnmowers. And he would keep him a stockpile of parts, and he would know where he could go to get it and those kind of things. You know what? As he came on down closer to the end, he was just thinking about going on. You could have told him, Dad, I sold everything you had out there and got me $100 for it, and he wouldn't care. That's okay. I'm not going to be staying here for it anyhow. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Because, you know, the verse tells me where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be also. You know, if I'm going to talk about heaven and I want to go there someday, I need to start laying up some things over there to where I have a longing to go. I don't mean not enjoying what I have here, but when the time comes that it looks like the Lord is calling for me, that I would have put some things, some of my valuable things are over on that side. I heard this like a dream of a farmer. You may have heard it before, but it told about how his life had ended and he was starting to head for heaven. You know, you can just kind of feel yourself floating up toward heaven, but he went just so far and he stopped. Something had him stuck and he got to trying to figure what's got me hung up here. And he looked down and he had a rope tied on his foot. And he looked and that rope went down and it was hooked to his farm down there. You know, there's a balance for us to be able to, yes, I enjoy these things. I love having a house. I love having all these things. But you know what? If your riches increase, don't set your heart on them. Because these things, riches can take wings and fly away. People in the Depression that had a lot of money and their heart was set on it, when that immediately was gone, there were many of them that committed suicide. They had nothing to live for. For the Christian to be able to live like Job is living, you know, I'm sure he got up in the mornings and he enjoyed seeing the things that he was raising. And there's more camels. There's more of these producing more. But you know what? When all of them left him in one day, it showed us where his heart was. The Lord's able to give. And the Lord's able to take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Jesus said in John 14, and this one I need to keep in my mind when things start getting tough. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Let not your heart be troubled. First verse. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's where I'm starting to put some treasure over on the other side and realizing, you know what? This is a good place to live. God has made a great place for us. But one day he's going to call me from here to a much better place. There is a verse of a song I'd like for us to sing together. We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he has given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. You know, he never intended the thought of heaven coming to my mind to be punishment. I'm going to have to leave here with all the things that I have accumulated. I don't want to go. I was thinking about the verse. It's in 1 Thessalonians, where it tells us, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16, this starts telling me about how it's going to be at the end. 16th verse says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, as I read those verses, what I say, oh, but wait a minute. I saved up a lot of money. It's in the bank. I'm going to have to leave it. That's not what this one says. The next verse says, 18, wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. When we sit down together and we talk about heaven, it ought to be a comfort to each one of us that one day this life will end. And if I have been faithful, the choices that I have been making, the things that I have been considering valuable in my life and setting up treasure on the other side, it'll pay for itself. Thinking about Paul, he got a vision. It's in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. You remember he said he was caught up into paradise and he saw some things that are not lawful for a man to speak about. Well, I was thinking about that, and I also thought about, you remember when Elijah, it says he ate and he drank and he went in the power of that food for 40 days. I kind of like to think about that with Paul. Paul got this vision of what heaven's going to be like, and he went in the strength of that vision the rest of his life, where he could tell us in some verses, I was beaten this many times. I was in this many shipwrecks. I had all these things. I had my own countrymen against me. But he said, none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear to myself, because he was able to have a picture out ahead of him. This is what I'll have if I'll be faithful. And you remember right at the last of the 8th chapter of Romans, he said, what's going to be able to separate us from the love of God? Will this or this, tribulation, persecution, will all these things be able to do it? What can do it? And then he said, I am persuaded none of this will be able to separate us. To where he was able to come down in the end, and Paul said it this way, I'm in a strait betwixt two. Can you imagine living your life to where you can say, I'm pulled between two right here? His strait that he was in was, boy, he was longing to get to go to heaven. And yet he was willing to stay because there were some folks that still needed him. but for us to be able to live our life to where we are in that kind of a place, that I have put enough things over on the other side that I am ready. You know, we have a song that in our songbook, when I look o'er the past, I behold how his wide arms of mercy held me. And then the chorus says, I am waiting, I am longing for the summons to come. Does that mean I don't appreciate what God has done here? Nope. It's while I've been appreciating it, while I look at what he did for the Garden of Eden for two people, and I look at all that and I say, wow, if he did that for two people, what is this place looking like that he has created for all of us to make heaven our home in? And I want to be faithful. You know, we read the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and we almost don't even give any attention to Lazarus. The focus is always about the rich man being in hell. But here's a place where Lazarus is now comforted. You know, it'd be good for me to study sometime. I wonder how he got there. What did Lazarus do that made it possible for him to make heaven? You think he had to do any maintenance on his soul while he was laying there at the gate, knowing that the rich man had what he needed to sustain him and he wouldn't give it to him? Remember we was talking about the road to hell? Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. Lazarus could have ended up in the same place that the rich man did, just because he allowed bitterness to come in or unforgiveness to come in. This man truly did him wrong, had the ability to make life better for Lazarus. But you know what I have to draw from that is Lazarus somehow maintained his soul. Lord, you understand it. I know he could do for me, but I put this all in your hands. To where when he breathed his last, he was able to make heaven his home. I was thinking about Psalm 73, where it says, truly God is good to Israel. But then he said, as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I want to tell you, as a Christian, we can get to that place when we start looking around us and it can cause our feet to slip. And what were some of the things that about caused his feet to slip? One of them was I looked at the prosperity of the wicked and I saw how my things were going. I was having trouble. And the wicked, there's no bands in their death. You ever notice that? You look at the saints even right now that are suffering. You would think, okay, if you live for the Lord, you're going to have a well body to 120 years, and then you'll just you'll die in your sleep and go to heaven. But instead, there's a lot of suffering. And it was almost like Psalm 73, he saw that. And he said, here, I'm going through all these things living for God, and the wicked, they're prospering. There's no bands in their death. They're not in trouble as other men are. But you know what? It kept on going down until he saw something. I didn't understand it. It was almost too much for me until I went into the sanctuary. And then I understood their end. It'll be good for us to realize, you know what? Hold on. Don't let anything stop you. If you fall, get up with your face toward the celestial city. I'm going to make heaven my home. I can clear up anything that happens in my life. I'll tell the Lord I'm sorry. I'll go back and straighten it up because I'm going to make heaven my home. There is a song that I heard just this last week. Maybe some of you know it and can sing it with me. Hark, I hear hope sweetly singing, singing in an undertone, singing as if God had taught her it is better farther on. Night and day I hear her singing, singing while I sit alone, singing so my heart can hear it. It is better farther on. When my faith took hold on Jesus, light divine within me shone. And I know since that glad moment, it is better farther on. plunged into the fountain, flowing free for everyone. I am saved and hope is singing. It is better farther on. Farther on, but how much farther? Count the milestones one by one. No counting, only trusting. It is better farther on. Rest my soul in hope forever. All my doubts and fears are gone. Jesus is my Savior, keeper. It is better farther on. That's what we need to be building on. Realize, you know what? I can have a lot of things happen in my life, but if I'll be faithful, it's going to be better on down the road. Thought of what Stephen went through. Going to be stoned here. And as it was happening, he looked up and he saw the heavens open and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. You know, this morning as we talked about hell, it's real. But folks, we can put us a distance between us and it. We don't have to live in a place to where, I tell you, when I die, I just hope. You'll hear so many people talk about, I hope I make it. I don't know if I will or not, but I hope I do. We don't have to hope. There is a verse that I'd like to close with. It's in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1 and 10. Before I get to the 10th verse, you know, for us ever to have a hope of heaven, there's some things that we will need to do. And if you look at this first chapter of 2 Peter, there are things that we start adding into our life. Let's start at the 5th verse. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then look at this 10th verse. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. This 11th verse, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. You know, this morning we was talking about Christian as he entered the gates to the celestial city, and they swung open for him. It wasn't just barely could he get in. I believe they swung open where he had an abundant entrance. As I was thinking about this, I had bought a pickup truck that when I pull into my garage, I have, it seems like about an inch on each side if you're not going to take a mirror off. So you're going to have to watch. You're going to have to drive real slow. You're going to have to be watching both mirrors to get to park it. That's not the kind of entrance we have into heaven. I just hope I'll be able to make it and not tear something off, not be able to get in. No, for so an you can have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like for us to close with another song, number 470, From Death. You know what we heard this morning about hell? It's real. If we don't do anything about it, we'll end up there. But we don't have to end up there. From death to life, a resurrection, I confess, has taken place within my breast. I've been awakened from the dead, and now I live with Christ instead. And you look through that song, it moves me from that dead state. I would have ended up in hell had I not made some choices and headed in some other directions. But now we can have life eternal, and I am so thankful for it. Maybe we could stand and sing number 470.